And Numbers chapter 2, verse 2, the Israelites shall encamp every man by his own standard with the banners of their fathers' families. And they were to march through the wilderness, following the standards of their tribes, and they were to encamp around those standards. Now, this word that's translated standard, it's really literally a pole. And in Isaiah 11, it speaks about the standard being lifted up, and all the believing Gentiles would come and camp around it, as if whoever camps around that standard, that pole, is the new Israel of God. And Jesus alludes to that and says, if I be lifted up, and he means on the cross, will draw all men unto me. And so, clearly this standard looks forward ultimately to the pole of wood upon which Jesus was crucified. Now, everything to do with Israel in the wilderness is absolutely relevant to us because Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10, that as they crossed the Red Sea, so we are baptized into Moses. Into Jesus. They were baptized, he said, in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud was just water that was above them, water both sides of them. They were surrounded by water. And Paul sees in that a symbol of our baptism. So we came out of Egypt, out of the world, pointless life, going nowhere, just in slavery. We're baptized, but we didn't come immediately into the promised land, but into the desert. And we are led through the desert by the Spirit of God, by the Lord Jesus. But we are following our standards, these poles which they were to follow. And this, as I say, clearly looked ahead to the Lord Jesus. And of course he says, take up your cross and follow me. So then, the guiding light, the guiding principle of our path through the desert is to follow the crucified Jesus. Now, what does that mean? I think it means that he there is the absolute pattern for us. It means that in all our questions as we go through the desert of this life, where should I go? What should I do? How should I travel? What about this? What about that? All that stream of decisions that make up daily life and hour by hour life, those decisions are made in the light of the fact that I am following a crucified Saviour, that he and his cross is the path to life eternal. That is the path to Canaan, to the promised land, to the kingdom of God, to the life eternal. So when you look at it like that, you're no longer looking for health and wealth and fantastic, cool life in this life. You are following him, and he there is the ultimate deciding factor to sacrifice, to not be here to serve ourselves, but to serve and to give our lives for others, to accept that this is the way of the cross, that there is no easy life, there is no easy path to God's kingdom. You can have it all now and in the life to come. To realize that this is in fact the intention and the plan of God, and that through whatever suffering we have, he is there with us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now, anyone who calls himself a Christian has signed up for that. We have signed up for this picking up of the cross and following after Jesus. But the problem is that although the Israelites did follow their standards, they also followed their idols. There's a chilling passage in Amos 5 that's quoted by Stephen in Acts 7 in the New Testament, where he says that when they went through the wilderness, they carried the star of their god Remphan and the tabernacle of Moloch. They carried two tabernacles through the wilderness, that of Yahweh and that of Moloch. They carried not only these standards of which we're reading here in Numbers 2, but also the standard of their god Remphan. And this is, of course, how we can be, just as Ezekiel 20 says that when Israel came through the Red Sea, they took with them the idols of Egypt. So it can be with us that, sure, yes, the whole idea of pick up your cross and follow me, oh yes, sure, I'm a Christian. Yes, I signed up for that indeed. I am a Christian, I follow him. But you can carry the star of your god Remphan as well. And remember that in their hearts they returned to Egypt. They're following behind those standards, the standards of Israel, was simply cosmetic and external, in their hearts they returned to Egypt. Now, the standards of the tribes can be connected with the faces of the cherubim. So, really, they were being led by this huge system of angels and God manifestation through the desert. But they were sort of trotting along with it externally, when actually in their hearts they'd gone back to Egypt. And this is really quite a challenge, is it not? Because really, if you're on a journey, you can only follow one guidance. And the guidance for us is the cross of Jesus. It is the pole. It is Him crucified. It is the whole principle of self-sacrifice, of radical giving unto death. Even if we are not asked to give our physical life in the course of our Christianity, although, you know, we should seriously accept that that's what we signed up to give our lives. And if our life is demanded, so it is. But if that doesn't happen, well, don't think that your life was not demanded. It is. This is what we signed up for, to give my life with His. That's the idea. That we are not passengers. We are not simply following a culture. And we are not simply trotting along behind Him externally, when in fact we are following the style of our God Remphan, when in fact we are following the secular way of being guided in decision-making by how much wealth and personal pleasure you can get for yourself. That is, let's face it, that is the guiding light, the guiding principle of most people's lives. They don't like to admit it, but that clearly enough is the path that they follow. And all the decisions in their journey are centered around that. What is best for me? What's good for me and my immediate family? What's good for my income, for my enjoyment? What would be the best deal for me? And to leave that behind and think, no, I'm following the cross of Jesus, that He there is my pattern. This is a radically different way to live. And this is why we're told to break bread in memory of Jesus regularly, to focus ourselves upon Him there, Him crucified, to realize that, yes, He there is the light of my world. And when Jesus said that He was to be lifted up from the earth and would draw all men unto Him, well, He then goes on to say, and I'm the light of the world. And we tend to think of light as an electric light bulb that comes on when it's switched on with electricity. But that, of course, was not how Jesus understood light. The light in those days was from torches, was from fire burning on a piece of wood. Jesus says, I'm going to be lifted up on the pole, just as the serpent was. And He alludes to how, and if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. Alluding to Isaiah 11, talking about the standard, the pole being lifted up and drawing everybody who believes unto Him. And then He says, and I am the light of the world. Now, if you just replace the word light with torch, you see the connection in His thought that I am going to be, I lifted up on that piece of wood, I there am going to be the fire, the light. You are to understand life only in the light of me dying on the cross. That is the guiding principle in all our decision, in all our self-understanding, in all our understanding of this world.